The very name Terrence Malick often creates a buzz in the film world, even though the reclusive writer-director has produced only a handful of films, five, actually, in almost 40 years. And his work often creates as much reverence as criticism. Malick's latest movie is The Tree of Life. It took top prize at this year's Cannes Film Festival, and as expected, there were as many boos as cheers. The film's main scenes take place in post-World War II Texas. Brad Pitt plays a suburban father of three sons whose parental style can often be confrontational, as in this scene where he's teaching his oldest son, Jack, to box.
Okay, hit. Come on. Nice, nice, harder. Nice. That's a good right. Let's see your left. It's the most important thing. Okay? You come in this way, you come in this way, you keep the guard up. Hit me. Come on, hit me. Come on. Come on, Jack. Hit me.
That's a scene from Terrence Malick's new film, The Tree of Life. And joining us in the studio to talk about this is Boston Globe film critic Ty Burr. Hello there, Ty.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
And Ty, you wrote an article for The Globe where you call Terrence Malick the monk of Mount Cinema. why does his name generate all this buzz?
Well, he's got this sort of Mysterioso persona. He made these two incredible movies in the 70s, Badlands and Days of Heaven. And then he disappeared for 20 years. And he came back in 1998 with The Thin Red Line and then a couple years later with The New World. And these are very much sort of 70s movies, art house movies, but they're in a vastly changed commercial cinema environment. So they really stick out. They're really unusual. And some people resist them and other people find absolute rapture in them.
So really unique films and the sort of mystique about this reclusive character.
Absolutely.
At the same time. I read that he banned paparazzi from the opening of Tree of Life.
And he doesn't give interviews. He really does sort of cultivate the space. Apparently in person he's quite a nice fellow, but he just is not interested in the media side of things.
Well, we should remind folks of some of the earlier films. In 1973, there was Badlands with Martin Sheen and Sissy Spacek. And then in 1978, Days of Heaven, which you say was really one of his best.
Oh, that's one of the most beautiful films ever shot, with Richard Gere.
And Brooke Adams as well. And also, we have a scene from this film, from the beginning of the film, where Linda Mance is playing the Richard Gere character's younger sister, Linda. And she describes the three of them leaving home. Let's listen.
All three of us been going places, looking for things, searching for things, going on adventures.
That's one of the really unique things that he does, is that he uses voiceovers throughout all of his movies, starting with Sissy Spacek in Badlands and up to Sean Penn in The Tree of Life. He uses voiceovers in this very poetic sense. They're not really allied with necessarily what's happening on the screen. They're reveries. They're meditations. And again, if you're not in the mood for that sort of thing when you want to go out to the movies on Saturday, you're going to resist. But if you are in the mood, it can take you to a much more interesting place than a lot of movies do.
So very philosophical. His movies are very
Mystical. And in a way, magical. And, you know, one thing about Tree of Life, you know, you talked about how it takes place in post-war suburbia. Well, that's only part of the movie. The other part of the movie takes place at the beginning of the universe. He literally recreates the origin of the universe and the birth of life on planet Earth with the help of Douglas Trumbull, who did the special effects for 2001. And by doing that, he's taking this human story in the 50s and setting it in the biggest frame imaginable to try and give it this mythical resonance. Hmm. That's the kind of thing he likes to do.
And I wonder if there's a difference, if you see a difference from these earlier films like Badlands and Days of Heaven to then, you know, 20 years later, his other works, when he released The Thin Red Line in 1998 and then in 2005, The New World. Is there a big difference there, or we're still seeing that sort of mystical voiceover, very visual, philosophical quality to his movies?
I think the 20-year break away from filmmaking really sort of sharpened what he wants to do. I think he's very clear about what he wants to do. And love him or hate him, he's making the movies he wants to make. And The New World, which a lot of people, you know, think of as the Pocahontas Colin Farrell movie, is actually a very, very rich story about the encounter between the West and, you know, Native Americans. I think in this movie, in Tree of Life, it's his most personal. It has to do with a lot of his issues growing up with his own father. To me, it's, in terms of storyline, it's the weakest of his movies. But visually, my God, it's incredible to look at. If you do see this movie, you should seek out the, you know, the best theater and the biggest screen possible.
Now, I read that some people could be very confused by it, and some people will absolutely love it and understand it. So it's the mixed reaction that he's really received in a lot of his films, and he's
right.
getting it in Tree of Life as well?
It's not that difficult to understand. It's a fairly linear. I mean, you're sitting there watching this, you know, post-war family, and then, whoops, you know, there's a couple of dinosaurs, so that's going to throw you. But it's less confusing than 2001, and a lot of people are sort of comparing this film to the work of Kubrick. I think Malick is less interested in sort of bamboozling us and more interested in taking us to a very sort of privileged, almost holy place.
Right. So does this signify a change, do you think, in his film creation or not?
Well, I think it's interesting that he's actually sort of, he's in his mid-60s now, and he's speeding up. He's already made his next movie, which is apparently a romance with Ben Affleck and Rachel McAdams. It's done. It's in the can. It'll probably be out in a year or two. He's coming into the strongest period of his work as he's moving into his 60s, which I think is absolutely wonderful in a culture that's completely, you know, besotted with youth.
And I also read that perhaps some of the scenes from Tree of Life may become an IMAX film for
yes,
National Geographic as well.
That's true. Well, I guess when you work with Douglas Trumbull and the Birth of the Universe sequences in Tree of Life are really astounding, and I can certainly see them on an IMAX screen going to see that. That would be quite an event.
You know, you mentioned that this particular film, that Tree of Life, is sort of a personal thing for Malick. We do have a clip from Tree of Life that I'd like to go to right now that maybe this is what you're talking about. This is Brad Pitt talking with his oldest son again about his sort of philosophy. Let's listen.
Don't let anyone tell you there's anything you can't do. Don't do like I did. Promise me that. I dreamed of being a great musician. I let myself get sidetracked.
Tiger, what do you think that means there with Brad Pitt talking from the Tree of Life?
Well, I think, as I mentioned, this is it's a very personal film, and I think and Pitt, by the way, gives I'm not still convinced he's a great actor. I think he's a great star, but he gives a really credible performance here, and I think in part because there's a real character that he's basing it on, and that scene comes late in the movie as the father sort of admitting some of his own flaws. And you notice you've got Bach playing in the background. Malick loves to suffuse his movies with classical music, beautiful classical music, just welling up on the soundtrack. And again, it's all about making the experience bigger, more mystical, more magical.
We also have Sean Penn, who plays the son Jack as he's older.
Correct.
And does that work? Do you think all of that's, that
didn't
works?
Work for me. That's the weakest part of the film for me, is Sean Penn sort of moving through the modern day in these sort of arid skyscrapers trying to resolve his past. And there just isn't enough for Penn to chew on as an actor, I think. And it leads to a very metaphorical scene that seemed a little bit secondhand Fellini to me, but I know some people absolutely love that part of the movie. So it really, with Malick, he's so individual and he's so unlike anybody making movies today that it really comes down to personal response.
Do you think we'll see a lot of Malick imitators, if there could be such a thing?
You know,
or folks may be feeling that they could maybe take more risks in films.
I think so. I think he does. For one thing, he's carrying the torch of 70s filmmaking, the new Hollywood. He's one of the few people really carrying that torch and really walking it like he talks it. And if that influences a new generation of filmmakers, all for the better, I'd say.
All right. Well, Boston Globe film critic Ty Burr on the work of Terrence Malick, including Tree of Life, which is in theaters around the country. To read Ty's article, go to hereandnow.org. Ty, thanks for being with us.
Thanks.